Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Jets are ass. The Giants are no longer ass, though. And the Giants are a team that is fun to watch, and you're looking forward to it. And even though it's going to be very, very difficult to turn the season around and make the playoffs, every single week matters when you're trying to turn this thing around. And beating the Philadelphia Eagles, pushing them around on national TV, and just a couple of weeks later, going in there is just so great. Storylines are tremendous. And this type of atmosphere, you know, we saw Jackson Dart go into Denver and play really well for most of the game. That's a great thing to see. Now to see him go into Philadelphia for the first time, the guy that you think's going to be and hope your quarterback will be for the next 15 plus years, is goes into Philadelphia the first time to hopefully send the same message that they did at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. I can't wait to see it. And you got Cam Scatterboo at the Knicks game. There's a great picture of him when, I guess it was it Ananobi who was going in for the dunk, and you see Scatterboo in the background doing the flexing. So this will be a good one. It'll be entertaining. Yes, the Giants are 2-5, but they're a 2-5 team that's got some real juice around them.
Well, for them, too bad they couldn't win last week, because that would have changed this whole dynamic. You know, a lot can change in 2 weeks in the NFL, and you know, after that embarrassing loss to the Giants on a Thursday night game, they came back and they just absolutely steamrolled your Vikings. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a different team maybe, and maybe they'll catch a break and they won't see A.J. Brown. But there's no question that this is going to be a little bit different game, I think, than we saw Thursday night at the Meadowlands. And Just because of, you know, the things that are going on around both teams, you know, the Giants coming off of that just horrendous defeat, and then Philadelphia on the other end of the spectrum figuring it out on offense. It was interesting. Went back and watched a lot of the tape of this Philadelphia game, and I want to know why their offense all of a sudden started to, you know, open up a little bit more. They had Jalen Hurts under center for 30 snaps. Mm. You know, like, he was not in the shotgun. And I'm wondering, like, if Shane Steichen, you know, wanted to get back to things that obviously they have done well over the last few years, and they figured out maybe he's better under center for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good sign, though, for the Philadelphia Eagles to consistently throw the ball like they did when the Vikings secondary last night gets torched again. You know, so it's not, you could say that they figured it out, or maybe they just ran into a team and a defense right now that's just back on their heels in a major way. But we'll see. I mean, maybe it is the start of something, but that team is, as much as A.J. Brown and the offense had struggled early on, the team is completely different when A.J. Brown is not on the field. I mean, I know Devontae Smith is still a weapon deep, but it's both of those guys and those threats along with Saquon Barkley would make them hard to defend, which is amazing that they've been scuffling for 90% of the season.
Yeah.
And it's not like they have a bad offensive line. It's just so weird that they've had the issues they've had on offense. I mean, maybe you could say it was a Kellen Moore thing, and they've been taking a long time to get to where they want to be. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they end up having another big game offensively. But, you know, this is another one of those instances, though, man, where it's like, you know, another huge opportunity for the young quarterback to build on his rookie season and the early legend in which he has created for the New York Giants. I still
think, though, that the Giant defense is, you know, it's still one of the worst in the league.
Yeah, it's not good.
And they're giving up about 25 points a game.
Well, I mean, all of it happened in the fourth quarter last week.
You also remember that Jalen Hurts missed Devonta Smith down the sideline when he was wide open, you know, against the Giants on Thursday night. I mean, he just overthrew him for whatever reason. I mean, you know, that's something that usually does not happen, and that is a 100% break. That's a lucky break because there was no pressure on him. He had him wide open. It was going to be a walk-in touchdown. You know, and he was off that night.
Mm-hmm. He's been off for what feels like most of the season outside of last week. And the Jets and the Bengals, I do not expect the Jets to even compete in this game. I really don't. I mean, without two of your better players, and looks like Sauce isn't playing. You know, Garrett Wilson still with the injury. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. I mean, I'm sure it's going to end up being Tyrod Taylor, but they're so bad. I mean,
I mean, their defense has gotten better the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
They have.
But no Sauce. I mean, like, who's going to cover Jamar Chase?
Yeah, it's
good luck with this one.
I mean, Sauce, I think, has been bad this year, and should have not gotten the contract. And he had a down year last year as well. So it's not as if they're going to be missing so much. But yeah, it's. I mean, with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, and now he got a real legitimate quarterback throwing him the football. I mean, it could get very ugly. But they've gotten pressure. They've played better defensively. But I don't know how. I just don't. I mean, the Bengals defense is bad too, but I got to see this Jet football team move the ball consistently for four quarters before I believe they can do it.
You know, the Jets have the fewest yards passing per game, 143 yards per game since 1979.
But their defense is better.
They are better.
Yeah. I mean, it's ugly.
And by the way, both Zach Taylor, the coach of the Bengals, started 0-11, and Brian Flores started 0-7 for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, so like we're in like the territory that Aaron Glenn is in as a head coach has been occupied by other coaches who have had success, you know, once they've been able to establish themselves in their respective cities.
Yeah, I mean, the Brian Flores thing ended. It was surprising the way that it ended. But, I mean, Zach Taylor ended up getting Joe Burrow, which changes everything for any head coach. So, I mean.
The other problem with the Jets is when they go on the road, they give up a lot of points. 25 or more points in 8 straight games. Road games. And that's the longest in team history.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see if this defense is better. And it's going to be consistent.
How many takeaways did the Jets have?
One.
That's right.
Listen, you're telling me, you've been arguing with me that the defense is defense. Giving me all these other things about how they suck.
The Jets lost two games in which they gave up 13 points.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you how anemic the offense is.
Sometimes I feel like the way these games go, like when one team is just so bad offensively, like the other team just mirrors that, it's just you get stuck in this quagmire of horrible football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that the other team is so bad.
Well, I mean, if you're a defensive player, it's not so horrible.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
I know we as the fans, we want exciting, we want scoring, We want throwing. We want wide receiver acrobatics. We want high scoring games. I know all that. But, you know, if you're a defensive player and you sit there and you look at yourself and you're in your meeting rooms and you've only given up 26 points over the last 2 weeks, you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah, I would think, especially the way that the season started, that's for sure. I mean, with how bad they were defensively when the season started. I mean, this. So you expect Tyrod Taylor as well?
I do.
I mean, like I said, it's probably the least interesting quarterback controversy in the history of the NFL.
Unless his knee is giving him more issues that we don't know about.
Well, CeeLo was saying that the beat reporters there seem to indicate that this was a normal type of maintenance thing for him, and it's not doesn't seem to be a big deal. I mean, to bring Justin Fields in, for him to have the first game that he had, and for us to sit here and go, wow, I mean, Tanner Engstrom, Justin Fields, to a point now where he is benched and he is historically bad at that position for a team that's been historically bad at that position.
I know one thing, you know, if I am Steve Wilkes and I'm looking at the tape from last week's Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game,
yeah,
they're going to see a lot of number one, Ja'Marr Chase. He had 16 catches.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Flacco is just dropping back and just throwing it to him. So I don't know who's going to play Ja'Marr Chase. I really don't. And by the way, if it's not Ja'Marr, he's throwing it to T, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yep.
He's been reborn. Joe Flacco has been reborn.
Again. I mean, this has happened a couple times now.
Kind of reminds me of 2023 when he did this with the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, he was reborn with the Browns and then... What, he went to Indianapolis for a little bit, right?
And that was with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
And they were jamming. Everybody was jamming Anthony Richardson down the throat of the coaches.
Yeah, well, yeah, Jim Irsay especially, right?
Yeah.
At the time when he was still alive, that's who he liked. That's who he wanted to draft and the whole deal. But, yeah, I mean, and now he's reborn again. I mean, I really thought he was going to be better with Cleveland, but, I mean, they don't have – I mean, what's going on? It's Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders ends up starting at one point this year.
He's going to. He's going to get a game. He may get a few games.
Really?
It was interesting. I was reading an article from Mary Kay Cabot. You know, she covers the Cleveland Browns for years and years and years. And she was on a podcast, and she was talking about the work ethic and the practice habits of Shedeur Sanders have significantly improved over the last 6 weeks.
Okay.
And everybody is recognizing it. And then, you know, she says, you know, if you stood him next to Dylan Gabriel and you watched them throw the ball, according to her now, there's really, you know, it's Shedeur every day. You would take him every day. The question is, then she goes on to say, well, you got to read defenses. You got to know your formations, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mike, well, you could look like I've played with so many physically gifted quarterbacks that obviously had the arm strength, had the physical attributes, the athletic ability, but just couldn't play the position because they're too like out of it. They don't understand the totality of the position and what it takes to be actual successful on the field.
Yeah, I mean, with all the talking he's been doing and the way that he's been acting, if he gets that opportunity and goes out there, it is terrible. I mean, people are going to be all over his ass.
I don't want my third quarterback being written about or talked about at all. It's just pipe down, and when your turn comes, like Tommy DeVito, when his turn came, what did he do?
Hey,
he made the most of it.
Won a couple games for him. Mark in Farmingdale, what's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call again.
Yeah, what's up, man?
So two questions, and just let me get both my points in. One is, I just don't understand how every Jet quarterback that comes here, they get worse. They actually ruin the careers of people. The Jets coaches, like, for example, you said Adam Gase yesterday, he came here, he doesn't have a job. Actually, the job he actually has now is working for the 33rd team, that Mike Tannenbaum thing. And then... in addition to that, just every single quarterback gets worse. Even Aaron Rodgers got worse here. He was 5-12 last year because Woody Johnson fired the coach and actually made the whole season a disaster. In addition to that, you have Justin Fields, who looked good in the first game, and I think these guys coach their players not to make mistakes, and that's why he holds on to the ball so long.
It's not because they're coaching him not to make mistakes. Now, number one, remember, he took a pretty significant concussion in Buffalo and missed the next game. and then took a vicious hit last week and was taken out of the game last week, too. Look, he holds on to the ball. You have 2.5 seconds to get rid of the ball. That's it. 2.5, maybe 3 if you step up into the pocket like Jackson Dart has done, and you gain maybe an extra fraction of a second, but you got to make your decisions quick. You got to throw it. You got to be quick. You got to be accurate. And that's not who Justin has been since game one. Game one he was, but now all of a sudden it's reverted back to what we saw in Chicago.
Yeah, coaches don't want to see the quarterbacks holding on to the ball.
No.
They want them to make quick decisions and throw the ball and be confident and do the things that they're taught and that they strategize the entire week. And then this guy against this defense, they don't need a guy standing back there holding on to the ball, not wanting to make a mistake.
You know the great Tom Moore?
Yes.
Who's now coaching down in Tampa. I think he's like 85 years old. He's been in the league for like 60 years. I saw a NFL Films piece on him, and there was Peyton Manning was in it, and of course Baker Mayfield's in it because Baker's around him now. And really, Tom Moore, you know, had all these great offensive concepts and everything else, but the most important thing that, you know, he would drive into the quarterback's head is 1, 2, 3, get rid of the ball. 1, 2, 3, get rid of the ball. You know, and that is key. You have to make decisions quickly. And you have to be able to be accurate in the face of people coming at you. And Justin is just not that player, or hasn't consistently been that player.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
With the New York Football Giants, there are some positives here, not just in that game on Sunday, obviously, with the big, you know, three quarters that they had, the big lead going into the fourth quarter, but just spinning it forward, BT, we've talked about this a little bit. You know, these two games at Denver, at Philadelphia, whether it was before the season started, whether it was after Jackson Dart took over as the starter, whether it was leading right up until the game last week, those two games to me were a very difficult back-to-back, and we said that they just need to get at least one to still have a season. So I know at 2-5, it's not great, and it's not looking likely about a postseason berth. However, if they could figure out a way to get a win here against Philadelphia, and I know it's not going to be easy, and it's Tuesday, so we still got ways to go before you have the gut feel, really, of what's going to happen with this team. But anything is possible. That stands true. Even in the loss on Sunday, Jackson Dart showed that. Anything's possible, and if they win this game, I do think the Giants can still make a run and be a postseason team.
They can hang around. Listen, here's the thing for me. I think anytime you get an unexpected surge. Like, of course, when Jackson Dart took the field, Giant fans were pumped up. And then you beat two good teams. And then, as we do as fans, we get out in front of our skis a little bit. We did it with Tom Thibodeau back in 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, the Knicks are back. And maybe that was the early signs, for sure, of the Knicks coming back. But that was quickly thwarted by the Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks here. I think from a micro perspective, it's obviously going to be very hard to make the playoffs. And I'm with you. I'm not saying they can't beat the Eagles, but you look at the schedule, the Niners, it's daunting. It's going to be very hard. But from a macro, from a bigger, you know, a view or snapshot for me, I'm buying the Giants as a stock. There's so many things I love. It seems like their entire culture is flipping. Their energy is high. And that all comes to the quarterback. Now, again, when you talk about this, you talk about Dart, you talk about the future, you talk about the Giants in totality, it always goes back to, is Dable going to be? I almost don't even want to do that now.
But that's going to be that is going to be a big part of it the rest of the year.
Indisputable, right. No doubt. And if the optics aren't pretty and the Giants, you know, just start getting mopped by these really good teams, which I don't think that they will, but if they do, then that is a real obvious discussion. And even if they play okay and they lose most of the games, Dable could still be gone. The only reason I say I don't even want to get into that now, or at least, you know, as the main central topic today, at least pertaining to this discussion, is because to me that overshadows the good.
Right.
And they got their quarterback. The entire team loves him. They follow him. He emits energy. He's got incredible talent. So I'm kind of getting hit from every direction. Like, I don't love Dable. I don't love the DC, but I love the quarterback. And I do believe in the future of the Giants.
It's hard for me to let go. First of all, I have an issue with letting go in the past to begin with. But it's hard for me to let go of what happened in week two. And then it happened again last week against Denver. But I could make a legitimate case that what happened the first three quarters is more, I don't even want to say impressive, more meaningful moving forward. Because if it didn't happen in week two, what we would normally be saying is, yeah, but that's a game that they won't blow the next time. It's a young quarterback.
They'll learn from it.
It was a horrible blown lead, whatever, but there's no way that that's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that it happened in week two, so it did happen again. So outside of that, though, I think there was a lot more good than bad in Denver. It is more impressive. Like, I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think Jackson Dart and the Giants were going to go in there and look as good as they did for the majority of that game in what I thought a very difficult spot against the best defense in the NFL, in my opinion, one of the better teams in the AFC, if not the best team, certainly outside of the Chiefs in the AFC. And again, this is my thought. So if they go in there and look as dominant as they did through the first three quarters, I'm impressed. Even with the result being the loss and the way that it went down, I'm still impressed and encouraged that, okay, it's a loss, it's brutal, it potentially kills the playoff chances because you have five losses through 7 weeks, like you do the math, especially with their schedule. However, I am not ready to put the nail in the Giants' coffin just yet. That would come if they lose to Philly on Sunday, but this is still a huge game. Not as big as it would have been had they won. This is still a huge game, BT, and I think they have as good a chance to win as anybody else.
Yeah, I think that they've earned that respect. I really do. I think when you look at teams and seasons and try to piece things together, a lot of times we almost get fooled into, well, you know, maybe they could do this. It's more out of hope rather than the reality of what they presented us, because we, especially with football, where we've been so desperate for the Jets and the Giants to get their act together, the first little crumb, you're like, all right, yeah, I'm all in. Here we go. And again, that's why I use the term getting over our skis. We probably did that a little bit here. I don't know if this is the right way, the wrong way, a good way, a bad way, a stupid way, a smart way. I don't know what way this is to look at it, but in some way, don't you think the 19-0 lead over the first three quarters of the game, in a lot of ways, overshadows the meltdown loss? You get the loss, and it very well could be a season crusher, but the three quarters, like, the Giants did so many good things. It wasn't a mirage. It wasn't fool's gold. They didn't have a trick play. They didn't jump. Like, it wasn't like Denver was besieged with injuries. They went onto that field for the first 45 minutes of the game And they pumped a really good team with a really good coach. And while they lost, that's got to mean something big picture. It's got to.
Yeah, and really their record is 2-2 with Jackson Dart as a starting quarterback. And you could argue that it should be better. It certainly should have been better. I'm not even giving them the Saints loss. Like, that was a bad loss. Rookie mistakes left and right with Scadaboo, with Jackson Dart. That happens. They should have won this game on Sunday. So if you look at it overall, we said this after the Eagles victory, that they pounded the Eagles on Thursday night. Like, to me, the same old Giants, the idea that the Giants were, you know, one of the worst teams and just going into each week like, ah, man, they're going to get pounded. That was put to bed Thursday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. I still had doubts against Denver only because I thought Denver was that good. And mm-hmm. I still believe Denver is that good, which to me then should elevate the Giants even further. And I look at the landscape of the NFC. You look at the landscape of the NFL, but let's just stick to the NFC. I mean, I'll say the same thing. I think that the Lions are good. Probably the best team. Yeah, Seahawks good, Niners good, Bucks fine, but like Eagles good. Like, no, to me, none of those teams are that much better. Maybe outside of the Lions are that much better than the Giants. And even the Lions, who the hell knows? Like, they could be inconsistent at times as well. So with Jackson Dart under center, with Burns, who's been one of the best defensive players in the league, period. Like, not just a standout for the Giants or in the NFC East. He's been one of the best defensive players in the league, period. They have a defense that's ready to win now. They have a quarterback that's taken this team to new levels. If they win this game on Sunday, then I do think, like 3-5, you're right there with a chance. A chance. Now, again, going to be difficult,
yeah,
but a chance to be still a have a relevant season as far as the results go this year.
And by the way, relevance, let's define relevance pertaining to this team at where they are in this stage of their development for a team like the Lions, you know, who wasn't too far away from the Super Bowl a year ago. You know, they're curve or their scoreboard is different from what the Giants should be because the Giants are just starting. So to me, when you say that the Giants have a chance to be relevant the entire year, I agree. But for me, my definition for this team would be getting into December 1st with a, again, unrealistic, but still a mathematical puncher's chance to do something with a wild card. Like, to me, that is a relevance because now when you have a tone that is competitive from really, week one, even though they didn't play well against the Commanders, but it's a 4.5 month journey of playing games that matter. Think about what that does for the young quarterback in the locker room. And this is why, Sal, I was saying, and you know, my mind was wandering as they're up 19 zip. I'm sitting there saying, yeah, all right, I told Sal this yesterday. Miami's getting spanked. The Saints stink, whether it's Waddle, whether it's Olave. I really think that the Giants, before they blew the game, we're really going to go out there and get a wide receiver. I still think that they should because I think that, you know, I think that the quarterback's earned it. I think that the locker room has shown enough where they deserve it. And it's another little, you know, asset so that when we get to, not that we're at 2026 yet, but when you get there, you know more about this team and what you have to do in the offseason. Yeah. They got a lot going for them.
Yeah, adding a wide receiver will help Jackson Dart here. And again, the remainder of this season is going to primarily be about evaluating Dable and Dart together, and maybe even more so just Dable, because that Dable and Dart had success in Denver, but they didn't figure out a way to win a game. That's going to be on the head coach. We know the quarterback's not going anywhere. So I'm sure that will be the bulk of the remaining of this season for once and for all evaluating Brian Dable here. But the season's not over yet. And even with the bad loss and the result, to me, those first three quarters, the way the Giants played in that game was more encouraging moving forward and proved me wrong. I didn't think that they could do that yet. I didn't think that they were there at that level yet to go on the road in that environment and compete at that level. Now, they lost the game, but even though the result was not favorable, the one that was expected if you thought Denver was going to win the game didn't play out that way. The Giants, to me, showed a lot more in that loss than they've shown in some wins in recent years. So I think it's possible.
That's true.
I think it's possible they could beat the Eagles here. I don't know where I'm going to go yet as far as picking them. Yeah, I mean, think about it.
That is a true statement.
Well, even in the playoff year, right? We got excited about the playoff year, but we knew that it was never really legitimate. The hope was that, okay, well, in year one, Dable can turn things around with Daniel Jones, and now in year two, take another step, throw the ball down the field, you know, actually throw the ball down the field, open things up a little bit more. That never came to fruition. That never happened, and obviously things only regressed. This is different. This is real. You already beat the Chargers. You beat the Super Bowl champion Eagles. You could have easily beaten the Broncos on the road, the best defense in the NFL right now. So for me, there are real reasons to believe in it. Now, again, we'll find out what happens Sunday, and the Eagles are getting hotter, and they look better against Minnesota. I'm sure they're going to be looking for revenge on the Giants and looking to send a message. This, to me, now will definitively be the game that defines this season. Not Dable and Dart.
Yeah.
Not next year. Not, oh, knocking the Giants back down to earth. This season, as far as this season goes, even at 2-5, there's still an outside chance if they beat the Eagles on Sunday.
See, I wonder where the Giant fan is today. Because you think about the 24 hours of emotion, right? And during the Denver game, it's primarily they're euphoric. You know, I know that they're thinking playoffs. I know that they're thinking trades. I know that they're thinking, you know, they're thinking big things. And why wouldn't you? Because the Giants gave you, you know, 2 hours plus of reason to think big. And then they collapse. And then the euphoric, you know, that incredible high, that wave that Giant fans have been desperate to get back on. Now it goes to despondency. And that, I mean, that's a flip. So today, to me, is the real, is like the real field of the Giant fan. The euphoric, you know, buzz is gone. The despondency should be dissipating. Now it should be back to a practical take on this team. That's what I think. Because, you know, during the game, we're not reasonable. We're not logical for the most part. After the game, we're not reasonable. We're not logical. I think I would be surprised. I know we'll get these calls here, obviously. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. I would be surprised if the Giant fan today doesn't come across as resilient, encouraged, not happy with the loss, but still big picture, feeling good about this team. They should.
You know, and thinking back to it, too, remember we were talking, we'll have Brian Baldinger on a little bit later. We'll get into the Knicks and some baseball stuff as well, maybe a little Jets as well. You know, looking back at the beginning of the season and thinking, where can Jackson Dart start and the soft landing spots and this and that, the one thing I would not have done is have him play against the Eagles and then have to go into Denver and then again Philadelphia. And obviously he's the starter long before that. And so far, to me, even with the interception, even with not being able to get a first down there on those final two drives, whatever it may be, you know, a pass interference, whatever, down the field, it was a success, more so than you could ever have asked for a rookie quarterback. Now, you can maybe get excited about what you saw in the preseason, certainly what you saw in fill-in spots, and then against the Chargers in his first official start. But to think that this would happen against the Eagles and then in Denver, I think that is as good as anybody could have hoped for. And now, after this weekend, like, they're going to be through the most, to me, most difficult part. Niners aren't easy, Bears aren't easy, Packers, Lions, and so on. Patriots not going to be easy. But moving forward, regardless of the result, this is a great thing to have Jackson Dart experience this now, as opposed to waiting and maybe having this experience next year. Like, he's going through the gauntlet right now, and he's passing with flying colors.
He hasn't looked overwhelmed at all.
Right.
Matter of fact, like, you know, I remember young quarterbacks and a couple of guys that come to name, like Mac Jones, come to mind. Mac Jones, when he was drafted, clearly overdrafted, not a good athlete, average arm talent. But you could see, and I remember watching him against the Jets, obviously, a couple times early. I'm like, this guy's not that good at all. I didn't even like him in college. But you could tell that they were kind of working around some of his athletic deficiencies. The thing that's pretty apparent to me with Jackson Dart is there's nothing he can't handle. He can handle a playbook. He can handle going on the road against better teams that have already been. Broncos were a playoff team a year ago, so Philly champions. I mean, he just doesn't seem, again, overwhelmed. And that's why, for me, and some others are saying, put him in week one, put him in week two. You and I weren't saying that because I was trying to protect him. I wanted a softer landing, right, admittedly. Right. That's why I kept saying the Saints are in Chicago week 10, week 11, whatever it is. He has already proven that he is so resilient. And so far ahead of what we thought, he's got the whole package. Now it's up to the Giants to you know, properly insulate him with the things that you need, you know, young players to eventually become MVPs and champions. And who knows if that's his path, but you can't say that it's not. And that's the best part of the season.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay. Let's go to our buddy Sonny in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. And by the way, the Knicks are not favored tonight. By the way, at home.
Right. I know. Well, it's altered.
Well, they were favored, and then with all the potential question marks, they are now the dog.
The last I checked, yeah, they were dogs. I got to check now that cat's up the question.
Yeah, I think I checked like 15 minutes ago. They were still dogs. Oh. Anyway, I want to talk about the Jets. Obviously, you know, I'm a Giant fan, but I want to give outside perspective. But the Giants, really quick, I'm glad they got a receiver. I was hoping it would be Waddle, but I got to look into this guy and see who he is. I'm sure he's a decent receiver. I'm glad they're giving Dart, you know, a chance to win every game and get him a decent receiver.
Yeah, he's 29 years old, Clemson kid, had a good season last year. We'll see. But I don't know how up to speed he can get in a week, but we'll see. It's good to have more depth at that position, if anything.
Yeah, yeah. As far as the Jets, you know, from outside perspective, because obviously I'm a Giant fan, I think the number one mistake was bringing in Glenn. Just because he was an ex-Jet and they got Parcells' blessing, didn't mean he was going to be a good coach. Number two, you know, he was so insecure with his job. This is my opinion. I think he was so insecure about his job and his knowledge that he got rid of one of the most talented quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Number three, they bring in Justin Fields, like you guys stated, and they got rid of Aaron Rodgers in March. The draft was in April. If they did their homework, and thank God they didn't, and thank God they didn't draft them, but they could have gotten Jackson Dart, guys.
I know.
Just to let you know.
I know. Thank you for letting me know, Sonny. I didn't know that. Thank you for informing. I totally forgot that the Jets were picking before the Giants ever traded up. I forgot that there was a quarterback sitting there. It totally slipped my brain, so I do appreciate the reminder. Now, Tiki, I don't want to say you defended the Jets, but when I brought this up to you the other day, that this is starting to annoy me, especially if Jackson Dart becomes what he appears to be, you said, look, new administration, scouting, it takes time, weren't prepared.
It does.
Okay.
You got to figure out what you want to be.
Okay.
It's a new GM, first-time GM, even though he was in scouting departments for a while. It was a new head coach, first-time head coach, even though he's been around the game his entire life. It takes time to figure out what your plan is. Like, what you want to be. Now, I know you present in the interview a vision for the future and, like, where it's going. But it's hard to just get up and execute it right away without experience. If you are Sean Payton going in for your second or third head coaching interview, then clearly you know what you want to do.
Right.
You know how to build what you're trying to get towards. Aaron Glenn didn't know that. Darren Mooji didn't know that. So they had to... I don't know. They made a decision on March 10th, for whatever reason, to give Justin Fields $40 million.
Well, one of our callers has an issue with Tommy Lugauer, Tony in Bayonne, New Jersey. What did Tommy do to piss you off this time?
Well, on Monday, he said that he was okay with the loss. Now, for the better part of two decades, we've been watching uncompetitive football. Halftime scores, they were down by two scores, three scores. Now all of a sudden, because we got Dart, what, we're supposed to accept these gut-wrenching losses that are worse than they were in the past 20 years? I mean, this is, and we love Tommy. Don't get me wrong. We love Tommy.
We love Tommy.
But, I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, we want to win these games.
Yeah, but Tony, they found their quarterback.
The Dallas game.
Tony, big picture.
Tommy, I don't care. I'm sitting there.
You don't care about the big picture of the franchise? You're going to worry about one game that we're going to forget about in probably a month, let alone a year or two?
Right.
Big picture is they found the quarterback.
They did, and I agree with that. But it's three games. Three gut-wrenching losses where they had wins in the bag. And we just let them go and go by.
Right, but that was my point. It's probably more than
they made a wild card this year.
Right, but Tony, my whole point was then maybe it's on the head coach, and then they could evaluate that at the end of the season that Dable might not be the guy. But I'm excited about the quarterback.
I think you're both right. Mm-hmm. Like it's Wednesday, right? We've had a couple of days to digest this. Tommy ultimately is right. I am fired up for you. If I take my jealousy aside, that it looks like you found your guy. And there's a really good chance that that loss isn't going to live in Giant history. But in the moment, even on Monday, like that is an all-time horrific feeling loss.
Right.
So I don't disagree with you, Tommy. I guess, and we're all different. It's one of those fandom things. It would take me a few days, maybe even a few weeks, to really spit that taste out of my mouth because that was a brutal loss.
If that's next year where the Giants are 6-2, yes, I would take that loss as, man, I'm thinking we're going to win the division, go to the playoffs. This year, to me, is more about the evaluation and the growth of this team and the quarterback. Yeah, you don't want to lose that way, obviously, and things would be different right now if they were 3-4, but to me, it's big picture this season.
Let's say, I get that because I'm over it. Like, I was pissed off on Sunday. I'm over that loss.
But that's today.
But I was
probably, Our last caller was mad at him on Monday.
I was probably over it yesterday as well.
That's Tuesday. It's all right.
Yeah, you get over it.
Do you guys feel this way? Because right now they're 2-5, and I understand what the math says. Do I think the Giants are a playoff team? Probably not. But let's say I'm wrong, and they beat the Eagles on Sunday. And they beat the Niners on the Sunday after that. And all of a sudden, the Giants are racking off victories. And they go into the Dallas game with a real chance to make the playoffs. They win the game, but they miss the playoffs by a game. Would you not look back?
No, I'd look back
differently. Okay. You'd look at that game instead.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Denver's a good team.
Yeah.
And by the way, they've done this multiple times, especially at home. Again, I joked, maybe that's Sean Payton's philosophy, even though when I think about it, the math doesn't make sense because you get six possessions per half. When you're down into you're in the fourth quarter and you haven't scored a point and you score 33 points, how are there enough possessions? This doesn't make sense.
Also, Lions fans that year with Dan Campbell, when they went on that run and missed out on the final Sunday, even though they had won the final game, do you think they looked back at some of those losses when they started the year clunky, or do you think they looked forward and said, oh my God, we're coming?
I think it did both. I honestly think it's both. That's why, like, I understand our caller's point. I get Tommy's point. Like, you should be fired up that it appears like you found your guy. I think two emotions can occur in the same body.
Mm-hmm.
You can be really excited about the future of a franchise and also really pissed off about a way a loss went.
Right, because they lost because of a field goal kicker, which I'd like to think they will correct or the administration should be gone.
Well, they lost because of a 3rd and 5 call and then a horrible decision by a rookie quarterback.
Okay, but
and then an extra point.
Yeah.
But Drew Phillips and Deontay.
The rookie quarterback on the road in a hostile environment also got a 4th and 19 and
he
scored
it was amazing.
Go ahead, touchdown.
Right. Can I also just, because Zach Kohler mentioned something, this is becoming a theme. Everybody needs to stop bringing up regretting the Dallas game, because if they win that Dallas game, are we sure they're going to Jackson Dart and beating the Chargers?
They're not.
So as bad as that loss was and we lived it, we need to stop playing that they could be 5-2 game.
I only talk about the Jackson Dart era now.
Thank you.
Me too. That's all I care about.
I agree with you on that. The Dallas games are relevant.
They are 2-2 in the Jackson Dart era. That's what I'm evaluating. Because I'm not thinking about the playoffs. If they get to the point where they're 9-7 at the end of the season, it's like, damn it, just missed the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm actually still going to only refer to the Saints game and maybe to the blown Denver Broncos game.
100%.
I can't go back to an era that was useless.
Right, and it also changes what they would have done next. You're 1,000% right. If they win that game, they probably delay the Dart inevitability by a couple of weeks, and who knows what that looks like. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019.
Yes, sir! 202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you on a Football Friday. Taking your calls for the next 3 hours, 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. And we got a lot to get to on this Football Friday. We're going to start with the football. We will get to, obviously, the huge national
shaking foundation of sports itself story at the gambling issue inside the NBA. We will get to it. We'll get to the Rangers. Can't win at home. But we got to start with a Football Friday in the New York Giants. It's still Football Friday. And this is a huge week for the New York Giants. A big week for the quarterback, who I just heard, you know, Keith play more from Matthew Stafford as he's being praised and having his, you know, let's be honest, his butt kissed all over the NFL. All over the NFL. Linebackers and edge rushers he's played against, quarterbacks, Hall of Fame level quarterbacks, Super Bowl champion quarterbacks, defensive coordinators he's going against here for the second time in 2 weeks. Everybody high on Jackson Dart. Everybody noticing how he's uplifted this team. This is the biggest, toughest spot for Jackson Dart in many ways. Like, it's the coach, it's the quarterback. I haven't shut up, as many of you like to point out, about the coach and the quarterback relationship. And obviously, in many ways, this game against Philadelphia, going on the road, trying to accomplish a feat that I believe they haven't done since 2007, and beat the Eagles twice in a year, that's how, even in championship seasons, they don't do this, for the most part. Like, it's been a long time since they've had dominance over the Philadelphia Eagles. And you are coming off a brutal loss where not only did you give up 19-point lead, not only did you give up 33 points in the fourth quarter, not only was it a disastrous loss to your chances to compete for a division, get back into a playoff position, everything along that, it's also a game where everything is questioned. The defensive coordinator is questioned. Obviously, the head coach is questioned. Even the quarterback, who, again, everyone's kissing his ass a little bit, but that brutal interception, which was the beginning and the turning point of losing a game that you can't lose. That 1,652 people games have consist, you know, have back, you know, back to back have not lost. You know, you don't lose a game 1,652 times in a row, up 18 points with 6 minutes left. You win consecutively. That's the word I was looking for. And now they have to turn this right around. The coach has to get them up for this game. The coach has to be able to tell Dexter Lawrence, who is talking about it all week, that it's difficult to get over that game. A defensive coordinator and a defense, right, that's going to be missing some key figures. Still guys who haven't practiced. Still missing defensive backs against an Eagles defense that kind of found something in the passing game last week. Burns, their best pass rusher, still hasn't practiced. And this coach who's under fire, right, who him and this quarterback are a tandem, but the fan base still thinks he's lousy. You still have to wonder whether or not how many games he has to win. Just lost a game that coaches don't lose. And the Giants have been experts at it. Let's be fair. As much as you can come away with different feelings about the game, it's okay for us to talk about it. It's okay for, you know, the fans to feel a certain way. But ultimately, let's be honest. The Giants, under Brian Daboll and before Brian Daboll, the Giants have had a tendency of not being able to close out games, not knowing how to win. And yes, that comes with a rookie quarterback sometimes. But this coach has been here for years. And this quarterback is the toast of the town, and yet they're finding ways to blow games they can't lose. They found a way to lose a Cowboy game they can't lose. They found a way to lose a Bronco game they can't lose. They found a way to lose a game against the New Orleans Saints, who aren't very good, by turning the ball over five consecutive series. And this coach has to get this team, who felt something from this quarterback, right? I've talked about the special. We've talked about how he's uplifted the team. You hear Sean Payton say, well, they found a spark. You just heard in the clip that Keith played from Matthew Stafford. They've really found something, and he's given them a boost. Like, boost and start and you know, all the different things. The way he's, we've talked about it all week, the way he's able to elevate this team, both offensively and defensively, and how different they've looked, and the energy that him and Scatterboo brought, and how it was really on the forefront the last time we saw them play this Eagles team. This is a spot where that special that I keep referring to, the ability to uplift the team that we haven't seen in forever since Eli Manning days, like, that ability is on the line and under question more than we've had it so far. This is going to be the first time he's going to play a defense that has seen him, This is going to be the first time that this new offense is going up against the defensive group and a Super Bowl champion that you embarrassed the last time and that has already seen you, has tape on you, was on the field there and knew exactly how you handled things, have gone up against this run game, have seen Jackson Dart operate. And he has to get this team up, him and the coach, that are the future. He's the future. Him and the relationship with the coach, we're going to find out if that's the future. They have to be uplifters to a higher level than they have before. This is a game where I know I like to yap about the coach, right? And he needs to come back, the relationship with the quarterback. You know, I don't care about anything prior to this. You know, Brian Daboll's done a great job. He handpicked this kid. Look what the kid's doing. He drafted him. He's the one who wanted him playing before anybody else wanted him playing. Some of us inside the organization, there was a battle between it. He was the one who stomped the table. He was the one who pounded the table to make sure he got drafted. He's the one who wanted to start him against the Chargers. He's the one who him and this kid have changed everything. Well, this is the first real test of where this is now about coaching. This is clearly about adjustments going up against the Eagles team you just went against 2 weeks ago. This is about finding a way to get a group that has, unfortunately, most of them, experienced losses. Like last week against Denver. All right, maybe not as crazy. Maybe not as, you know, 19 points in the fourth quarter. But they just experienced it against the Cowboys in a gut-wrenching loss. They have more last-second field goals kicked against them than any team in the NFL over the last 5 years. Like, they have had this happen to them before. This is a group tired of losing. This is a group that it felt like, with this new quarterback and new offense, there was some sort of level of expectation that it wouldn't happen. And now it got thrown into their face in an incredibly, incredible way that it's hard to get over. And so to me, as much as I like to talk about the coach and quarterback relationship, and that's why Brian Daboll should be back, it's important to see what he gets out of this group. It's important what kind of effort they're going to give you coming off that game in Denver, going back on the road to a Super Bowl level opponent, an opponent that knows them well, an opponent they haven't lost to twice, they haven't beat twice in a season in damn near two decades, and an opponent that scored some points through the passing game last week against Minnesota, kind of found themselves a little bit, and is looking to exact a little bit of revenge and has already been on the field. This is a game about adjustments. This is a game about, is it more than just, we're going to throw some different things at you. You haven't seen Jackson Dart yet. This offense looks different than it did clearly last year at any point. It looks different than it did with Russell Wilson. Jackson Dart brings a new element. We're able to roll in some different things. Well, now they've seen all that. And you probably put your best offensive performance yet against them 2 weeks ago. Can you duplicate it? Can this team come out and give the Eagles a game? Now, they're 7.5-point underdogs. I don't know the expectation of winning this game. And we talked about it going into the Denver game these next 2 weeks leading up. And this week, unfortunately, is not the week we all wanted. It's not the week of beating Denver and going 3-4 and being one game under 500. At 3-4, and heading into to play an Eagles team where you could thrust yourself right into the conversation about the division. It's a different week. It's a week trying to figure out what kind of team you are and what kind of fight you have in you. And can this defense recover from giving up 33 points in the fourth quarter? Can this defense recover from all the questions about their unhappiness about the play call or the defensive coordinator? Or we watch, you know, guys who are supposed to be important to this team, like Banks, first-round picks, end up just being terrible in the game. And guys, they're still going to have to rely on as injuries are still there for them. Because I'll tell you, my opinion, and I've talked about this, the coach, the quarterback, if they come out and get drubbed, if they come out and Jackson Dart's not as effective because he's playing against a team who's seen him and the Giants coaching staff is unable to make adjustments, if this team, off of that loss, is unable to get that inspiration that it found with this young quarterback and they fall flat in a game against Philadelphia, if they go into Philly and just get their ass kicked from the jump, well, now you start to have that conversation, for me, where it changes your thought about the coach. It changes your thought about the ability to make adjustments. It wouldn't necessarily change my thought about the quarterback. I think Jackson Dart has proved enough and shown enough that he's clearly got ability to play in this league. But that relationship that I deem so important, starts to take hits, if they can't come back from games like that, his ability to lift the team is part of what makes him special. He needs to do it this week. This is the toughest test yet. I know we keep having them because the schedule was tough. And bringing in Philadelphia home felt like a challenge. Certainly going on the road against one of the best defenses in the league felt like a big-time challenge. And even though they lost it, in many ways, they rose to the challenge. In many ways, they were the better team that game. In many ways, for the first three quarters, they took it to the Broncos. In many ways, for the first three quarters, and yeah, you got to play a full game. You can't erase what happened in the fourth quarter. I'm not trying to. But I'm just saying, in many ways, the defense played one of its best games. And we could talk about, like, I saw reports that you can blame the coach for the defense being out of gas at the end of the game, especially in Mile High. Camp was light work. He didn't push these guys. Like, all of these questions, when you start losing games the way they lost against Denver, everything, despite the quarterback play, despite the fact that he's kind of taken the league by storm, despite the fact the coach is linked to him, you lose games like that, that's when the questions start to come. That's when you have to prove yourself in an NFL that feels like you have to prove yourself on a week-to-week basis. And yeah, this now becomes a transitional season once you bring in the rookie quarterback. And for a fleeting moment, we thought maybe it could be something different. And if they go win this football game, maybe we convince ourselves that it is something different. And we start to have that conversation again about throwing themselves in the mix as Daniels is hurt in Washington, as the Cowboys have a tough game this week. Maybe we do start to throw ourselves into that conversation as Minnesota's kind of taking themselves out of being a playoff team. Maybe we do. But right now, it's still about developing this quarterback. It's about the coach-quarterback relationship. And for a coach that's under fire, who half, if not more, of the fan base wants jettisoned, everyone wants him out, he's got to show that he can do something that's very difficult in this league. Get a team up. Get a team that's traditionally lost here. Get a team that over the last 2 years with this head coach has fallen apart and had miserable, ugly losing seasons. Guys who have been here, and I know Scataboo and Dart like to talk about how they weren't here, that they're not part of the failures of the previous couple of years, that they aren't part of the offensive woes inside the red zone, that they're ushering in a new era of Giant football, that they're ushering this new era of, you know, it's not about what we did before, it's about the future, and these two young kids are bringing the enthusiasm, and it's changed in so many ways. Yes, the first three quarters in Denver changed a lot and looked a lot different than what we've seen from the Giants, but that fourth quarter and blowing games late and finding ways to lose, that has been a Giants issue dating back many years, and it came up even in this new regime. So if Jackson Dart wants to talk about how things are changing, if Scataboo wants to talk about how things are changing and he wants to go to Knick games and he wants to be on the cover of the newspaper flexing, if he wants to be the toast of the town, if they want to change everything around this team, the next step is to show up in Philadelphia and play a damn good football game and continue to do what you do offensively and continue to be successful in the red zone and continue to have drives down the field and continue to get off to good starts offensively with first touchdown drives three out of these four games. And continue to show that not only are you a quarterback with tools who can make plays with a wide receiving core that isn't any good, and I know we spent a lot of time on yesterday, the actual talent around Jackson Dart. But prove more than you're just the quarterback who has some tools, who's developing, who can become special in this league. And try and show us what we've all kind of seen, that it's not only the tools, that it's not only the ability to run and the ability to throw, but it's more about the instant impact that he's had on the team. Because there are quarterbacks who have immense talent that don't impact their team. And what we've seen from the jump of this new Jackson Dart era is not only is he successful, not only does he score touchdowns, not only does he put drives together, and not only did this offense immediately click with whatever he's doing, the play calling of Kafka, the scheme of this head coach, it instantly clicked the minute he took over. He also rose, he took the entire offensive line, he took this wide receiving core, And he took this run game and he even took the defense to a new level, and the entire team played in a different fashion. We could argue that their hopes of making a real competitive run at a playoff spot ended in Denver in the fourth quarter. What can't end in the fourth quarter in Denver is the promise we've seen and the ability to raise the game and the Giants to play like a different football team and to not look like the joke of the NFL that when you welcome into your building as Denver did, you schedule all the honors and you have your former greats there and you have the dedications into the Ring of Honor. That's what you do when the Giants come to town. That's what you do. That's what Denver did, and that's what you do typically when the New York football Giants come to town. That still needs to change. No matter what the standings say, no matter how many wins are in their back pocket, no matter what the outlook for the rest of the year is, this team has to continue to show that they are a fight when they show up in your building. That this isn't what it used to be, that they're going to punch you in the mouth, they're going to run the football down your throat, and they've got a quarterback who can make plays down the field, can make plays with his legs, who's impossible to bring down, who has great pocket awareness, and who is going to elevate the entire team around him. I am still looking for that win, loss, or tie against Philadelphia come this Sunday. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm looking at the quarterback and the coach. Can you uplift this team? And for the coach, can you get them off the deck after what had to be a crushing loss out in Denver? 888-808-1019. As I said, we will get to the gambling story and how it impacts the NBA moving forward, how it impacts, you know, us, how it impacts this gambling world that we've all, in the last handful of years, become accustomed to and most of us have become a part of. Well, you know, we have, it's a football Friday. We do picks. This is what we are. And the shocking nature and yet the unshocking nature of a professional athlete who makes the money that Terry Rozier makes, or a coach who had the legacy and the money, but the legacy that he put on the line for a poker game and how it's intertwined with the mafia. It is just, you know, it broke early yesterday morning just as I was leaving, you know, to go home. The morning show had it. And it's just one of those stories that as it got rolling all day and the different elements to it, and then, you know, you're reading the complaints and even Chauncey Billups is a part of possibly, that, you know, they call him conspirator number 8. And he's, you know, he played the years that Billups played. He coached the year that Billups coached. He's given information about tanking and whether or not they're going to play some guys and giving early information. Well, where do these feel like not necessarily one-offs? Because I don't think anyone would think they're one-offs, but is this enough to make you feel like this cuts to the core of whether or not the sport is on the level? That's really the question, because that's where we lie here. Are the games legit and on the level, or are they not? And does what happened yesterday and what we will continue to hear unfold throughout the weeks here, does that make you question whether or not the sport is on the level? Did it take it to that height, just giving information about injuries, or, you know, one player taking himself out of a game and letting people know about it? Is this any worse than the Donaghy referee gambling scandal? Does it impact it that now sports betting is legal? These are all questions we're going to be debating back and forth with for a while now after the shocking nature of what we found out yesterday. 888-808-1019. So we start with a football Friday as usual. We'll talk Giants. Obviously, we'll talk Jets. Maybe by tomorrow's Saturday show, I'll find out who the quarterback is for the Jets and we can actually break down the game. That'd be nice. But we'll talk Jets as they play a game that they've got to, again, is Joe Flacco going to beat them? Is Joe Flacco going to put up back-to-back weeks like this? Ugh.
Yeah, Bussin' with the Boys podcast. They said Cam Scataboo might be the all-white team captain soon. And if you remember, there was like, oh, what was it? It was Rashad Mendenhall. I remember Rashad Mendenhall like had like beef with Will Compton on Twitter about putting together like an all-black football team. And then Will Compton put together like an all-white team. And it was a pretty decent team. But he leaned into Cam Scataboo, and he didn't hold any punches. He went right to Zach Bond and asked him, because you guys saw on Thursday Night Football Cam Scataboo running over Eagles linebacker Zach Bond. They will have a rematch. Here's what Zach Bond had to say when asked about. And I realized they came in with the Chief Keith, but I wanted you to hear him say, Cam Scataboo is a guy that you don't realize how hard he runs, how strong he is, how tough he is, until you face him. The first time around, I think Zach Bond thought it was sweet. Second time around, these guys are going to be ready. And you're going into their building. And they're coming off a win, not a loss. And it's not a short week like it was last time. This is going to be a real test for the Giants. Let's hear from Saquon Barkley. Oh, we gotta wait for the dump. So let me go to a call, and we'll get to the next audio. I had to dump that. They played Chief Keef. They played Chief Keef right after it, and they came up with the F-bomb, so we had to dump that. But they are putting respect on these rookies. Cam Scataboo also went viral because of the Knicks game. He was right under the hoop, and Newsday put out a picture of OG Anunoby dunking the ball, and Cam Scataboo is underneath the hoop flexing, and everybody loves the guy. You know, he fits right in, one of us. Even though he's from Sacramento, he has quickly become a king in New York. So I am excited to see if they are up for the challenge. I am excited to see if they are able to duplicate what they did. Now, I don't expect them to beat the Eagles like they beat them on Thursday Night Football, because they completely caught them off guard. They were able to put up 34 points. And the Eagles are going to be ready this time. But I think I was looking at something before, like the Eagles are like 70% favorites to win. And yeah, the Eagles are another 7.5 point favorite. So the Giants are dogs again. They were 7.5 point dogs when it was Thursday Night Football at MetLife. So let's see if they can take that down. And you know what? I was saying, you know, the first couple of days this week, got to forget about the Broncos loss. Can't have a hangover. Got to go down to Philly and knock off the Eagles. And I think that they have a short enough memory. I think these guys are focused on winning. And they know that they should have won that game. The special teams coordinator even came out and took blame, you know, for the kicking issue. So let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019, talking about the Giants matchup, talking about the Giants going to face the Philadelphia Eagles and what you guys are thinking about your team. Michael is in Fairhaven with us next. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Keith?
Hanging out, man. How are you?
I'm good. I learned about you just by listening to like the daytime stuff, and I love the show, so I appreciate you taking the call.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
So I'm sure this got litigated over the week, but you know, I haven't been in the car as much as I usually am. My question, it's more like your opinion take on the whole Brian Daboll Denver collapse thing. But I feel like all the flack that he's been getting is kind of unjust, because what kind of happened in that game, if you point to each individual thing, like he's an offensive specialist, right? So people are getting on him.
Daboll?
For the defensive. Yeah.
He's the head coach, though. Offense is his specialty, but he's the head coach. You got to be the CEO, right? You could have a CEO that is, you know, big on the finances, but like he's also got to, you know, at sometimes know what's going on with the people team. He's also got to know, you know what I'm saying? Like that, it falls on the head coach too. Cause like, I know everybody wanted to bury Shane Bowen, but like fool me, can't fool me again. You could call timeout. You could override the call, you know, so go on. But I can't put Brian Daboll as an offensive specialist when this is his fourth year as the head coach of the team.
No, I get that. And right, he has big time administrative responsibilities, right? He's got to take care of everything. But like the kicking situation, is that not Joe Shane's fault? And then dropping it into coverage, right? That's Shane Bowen's call. But event like the guys didn't execute the game plan, right? So I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong on this. I don't know. I haven't been able to rewind it on the Odyssey app. Shameless plug. But
the ability to rewind. Yeah, I said they've won together. They lose together. The thing about football is there are so many moving parts. There are so many guys that have to work in concert for you to win. And we could break down a bunch of little things. Dart threw an interception. Cam Scatabu got blown up on the play. Tiki Barber's whole thing was, hey, you put the ball into a rookie quarterback's hand when you should have ran it. So, like, that would be on Dable. But, no, that would be on Kafka, right? Kafka's the play caller.
Right, he's playing calls. So I almost feel like everyone coming down on him, and I get it. He's the CEO. He's the administrator. He makes all the, you know, the final say and all that stuff. But, like, is he – and, again, I don't know because I'm not an NFL head coach. But, like, does he really have that much pull on, like, the in-the-moment decisions on things that he's not the specialist in, right?
Like, yeah,
the
offense, yeah. Right? And, like, if you watch these experience, like, even looking at Jim Harbaugh tonight, like, these experienced head coaches, they're damn near on the field. Like, at any given time or moment, it is their team. Like, they're playing Madden. They're on the sticks. Like, they are affecting the game. These coaches, like Sean Payton, like, these guys – and that's what you have to be a good head coach. You have to know the offense, the defense, the special teams. And if you don't like something, if you don't want them dropping eight in coverage, don't drop eight in coverage. If Dexter Lawrence isn't on the field, you have the power to say, no, Dexter Lawrence got to be in. You're the head coach. You're the one that has to stand at the podium before anyone else. The rest of these guys don't stand at the podium after the game. The coach does. The rest of these guys meet the media on Wednesday. Right now we're hearing from, you know, Shane Bowen. Now we're hearing from special teams coach. You know, Shane Bowen says, I got to do a better job. Just do a better job. We don't want to hear you got to do it. In the moment, you got to do it. Now you got to go down and face the Eagles. And I think this is going to be a tight game. I think it's going to come down to some kicks that are either made or missed. It's going to come down to some turnovers. It's going to come down to some decisions on third down, fourth down. They got to be more buttoned up.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I guess, I mean, again, I don't want to, like, over-litigate because I'm sure this station's been full of, you know, Dable this, Dable that, and all that. But
for 4 years, moving on to
positive question, your thoughts on Jackson Dart, I want to hear because, again, I haven't been in the car all week. And, again, appreciate you having me. Shout out to New Jersey.
Thanks for the call. Michael, down in Fairhaven, maybe a Rumson guy, maybe a Red Bank regional guy. I don't know. Short conference. We on. Man, I've talked about Jackson Dart at length. I'm excited to watch this kid play quarterback every time, every snap, every series, because he's fearless. He can make something out of nothing. And now, like, everybody's giving him his props and his respect. It's not a fluke. He's going to struggle. He's going to take his lumps. He's going to throw interceptions. He's going to fumble the ball. He's going to try and get too much. Like, I was watching Chase Daniel break down his film. And I can't play it because it's too long. And nobody wants to hear, you know, Chase Daniel call out, like coverage and protection and stuff like that. But, you know, he's like, you know, it's here. He's like, here's where I thought he pressed a little bit. And it's the play where Dart gets the luck of a ball being tipped into Theo Johnson's hands. And it turns into a touchdown, you know? And so, like, even Chase Daniel said, like, I don't care what anybody says about Chase Daniel. There's no way you stay in the NFL as a backup quarterback and don't know all the X's and O's. He has been in film rooms for years. He has been with Andy Reid. He has been with Drew Brees. So, like, he says Jackson Dart is the future in New York. There's zero questions about that. Love how he moves in the pocket. Doesn't look like a rookie. And that is what, for me, I don't think any of us knew. If we would have known that, the only one that probably could say that he knew that was Brian Dable, as it comes back to Dable, because Dable made him QB2. And when he did that, I'm like, what's the point of having Jameis? What's the point of putting this kid one play away? Is he ready? He must be. Because everybody knows that in football. If you're the backup, you're one play away. You're one tackle away from, hey, you're up. So they clearly thought so. And we watched in the preseason, and he made plays in the preseason. He was competitive in the preseason. He was fiery in the preseason. But I didn't know he was going to be able to do this, like against the Broncos defense, against the Eagles defense. And he's got a hell of a challenge this week. He's facing the Eagles defense for the second time. Jalen Carter was not there the first time. Quinyon Mitchell was not there the first time. Those are arguably their two best players on that side of the ball. So let's see what he can do with Jalen Carter breathing down his neck. Let's see what he can do with Quinyon Mitchell locking up Bo Collins or Darius Slayton. You know, it's going to be a little different. It's going to be a little harder. He's going to probably have to make some more plays with his legs. I would get Cam Scataboo going again, who rushed for 110 yards and three touchdowns. Wilson's in Roxbury, New Jersey with us next. What's up, Wilson?
Hey, what's up, Keith? How are you, man?
Good, good. Thank you for calling.
Hey, listen, man, I don't know what the situation is with everybody, especially in the radio station, about this horrendous head coach that we have as a Giants fan. I mean, you know what his record is, man, the past 41 games?
It's bad.
11 wins and 30 losses.
Yeah, it's bad.
I got to hear, you know what? And the worst part about it is this, Keith, man, is that when this kid, right, missed the extra point, if there was a Giants fan in the middle of the Sahara Desert, he would have shut off his TV like I shut off my TV, like 90% of the Giants fans shut off their TV, because we knew what was going to happen. The game was over because this guy is horrendous. He doesn't do any adjustments whatsoever. And somehow, people saying that, well, you know, he should come back because of Jackson Dart. And the biggest bull of crap that I hear all the time is, well, the players play hard for this guy. You know, there's no quitting. The locker room is good. That's a bunch of bull. You know that, Keith, man? Players play for themselves and for their families. They have to worry about having a job next year, not getting cut. You know, and when this guy gets fired, the players are going to quit football because this guy gets fired. What, they're going to go quiet in a dark room? They're going to go on, man. I mean, this chapter is over. It's over.
Thank you for the call, Wilson. I will say this to you, Wilson. I hope you're still listening, even though I hung up the phone. Please forget, and I know you might not forget your entire life. I watched that game. Giants fans didn't turn that game off. They knew that one point was hanging there, but they also knew that one point was hanging there when it was 13 and not 14. Please try to move off of the Week 7 loss. There's a bunch of more games. Brian Daboll's time is not done. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. He's got another year on this first five-year contract. He is the one that handpicked the quarterback that you all love. This quarterback that, you know, everybody in the NFL that watches NFL football saying he's the difference. That kid's for real. Giants got a future. Hold on now. So, like, you get credit for that. You also get credit for, again, not being prepared in the kicking game. It is fireable. How many times do you have? I think that it has cost the Giants like three different games, maybe four that I can remember, where it's like the kicking situation isn't right. And I don't know. With Graham Gano, it really falls back on him. I said Graham Gano had to be the most sick out of everybody because he's like, well, damn, I could have even hurt. I could have kicked those extra points. This game is on me. I thought Jude McItamy would be good enough. No, not in the pressure of Mile High. So, you know, I know people want Brian Daboll gone. That record goes on his tombstone. You know what I'm saying? And like, the whole reason he's still here was because he didn't have the opportunity to draft and develop his own quarterback. Not only did he draft and develop his own quarterback, like he hit on the right guy. People wanted them to take Shedeur Sanders. People wanted him to wait till the next day to draft Jackson Dart, who might not have been there. Somebody might have taken him in those late last picks because they might have said, hey, we had a good grade on this guy. You know, if you watch the behind-the-scenes stuff, it wasn't Joe Shane. They're talking about rolling the dice. Brian Daboll was just giving a nod like, yeah, that's my guy. That's who I want. That's who we interviewed. That's who we talked to. We watched the film. Reports came out that Brian Daboll pushed to have the Giants take him at 3. And I understand that logic because it's like, why are we taking Abdul Carter when we just traded for Brian Burns and 2 years ago we drafted Kayvon? If we want another edge rusher, we don't have to get Abdul Carter. We could get an edge rusher with our second pick. Luckily, they were able to do both because Abdul Carter is a force as well. And as a rookie, like, he's been solid. And I think what you're getting out of Spider-Man Brian Burns, most people tell you he's getting freed up because they have to actually block Abdul Carter, Kayvon, Dexter Lawrence. Like, somebody comes free, and it's Brian Burns who's got the height, the length, the speed, the strength to get by his man one-on-one. There's not too many guys that can stop him one-on-one. But, yeah, you got to get off of the Broncos game. It sucks. Did you feel like, how come nobody's calling about the Saints game anymore? How come nobody's calling about the Dallas game anymore? They're similar. It's week 8. You're going to face the hated Philadelphia Eagles with the opportunity to sweep them for the first time since 2007. I just was talking about how there are kids that are listening right now. They weren't alive in 2007. They don't remember the Giants beating the Patriots and Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been a long time. So I think if Brian Daboll and Jackson Dart and Shane Bowen and Brian Burns and these guys are able to go down there in Philly and get a win, it'll make up some for the Broncos' loss. This team is not going to the playoffs. They're going to lose a bunch of more games just because they're not going to be better than the team that they're playing across. But they're going to be in every game because they finally have a quarterback and a running back and a couple running backs and an offense that they can call and scheme and find success because it's not Russell Wilson sitting back there. There's a quarterback that's extending plays, making something out of nothing, not taking sacks, scrambling out of pressure, and finding open wide receivers. You don't even have any really great wide receivers. Wandale is good. We'll see what Slayton adds to, but without Malik Nabers, who I did see Malik Nabers didn't get his ACL surgery yet. That's another update from today, but supposedly that's common. They're waiting for the swelling to go down.
Let's go to Alex in New Haven. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Big Mac, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's going on?
I was just wondering, I know Judge is obviously more talented, but when both of their respective careers are done, who do you think is going to be more beloved in New York, Jackson Dart or Aaron Judge?
All right. Aaron Judge is going to be the better player. I mean, we are talking about one of the great right-handed hitters of all time. And that's what we're talking about. He's most likely going to win his third MVP. He's the best hitter in the sport. I don't think Jackson Dart is going to be the same level of player that Aaron Judge is. Aaron Judge is the best hitter in the game. I don't know if we'll ever say that Jackson Dart is the best quarterback in the game. We'll see. That would be great. It's too hard to fathom. It's too hard to put that on him. But I will say this. Unless Aaron Judge wins multiple championships, multiple, because of the nature of the New York Yankees and the expectations of winning championships, the difference in the sport where they're allowed to spend as much money as they want, there's just penalties for it, as opposed to the cap in the NFL. The nature of what the Giants have been over the last, however, 10, 12 years, or 14 years since the championship, the expectations are different. Aaron Judge has been there and failed at times. If Jackson Dart leads the Giants to a Super Bowl, that will count as 2 or 3 championships for Aaron Judge. Because the fan base is already just furious and practically toxic with the Yankees. One will be more of a relief than an excitement. When they win a championship, it will be more of a like, whew, thank God we don't have to talk about the 15 years. What an embarrassing this franchise has been. Thankfully, that's over. Now go out and win another. Like, that's it. The Yankee fan base, it's going to celebrate, and the parade's going to be great, but But there's going to be no, like, I don't think the fan base right now is in it. There is so much vitriol for the people making the decisions that I think it will be more thought of as long as it's, you know, Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone, it's going to be more of a, like, finally, these every, you know, squirrel finds a nut. I don't think, there'll be excitement. I'm not saying we won't be excited as Yankee fans. There'll be a huge parade. Everyone will be great. But it will be, all right, go win another. It will be special if the Giants win a Super Bowl. If Jackson Dart leads them to a Super Bowl, it will be, holy cow, unbelievable. What a great, like, Aaron Judge has to win multiple because the fan base has different expectations. And although it should be the Giants that have built up such a toxic relationship with the fan base, it feels like it's worse with the Yankees because they keep getting there and hitting their heads against the wall and not being able to get over the top, where the Giants are just lousy. And it would be, oh my God, they won. Amazing. Where the Yankees would be, finally, you bunch of bums figured it out. Let's hope you could do it again. Probably go right back to losing in the ALDS next year. That's probably how the fan base will handle it. So to be beloved, Aaron Judge is going to have to do a hell of a lot more than Jackson Dart would have to do. And again, the other thing is, Jackson Dart has much more of a tangible ability to control it. The quarterback of a football team has a lot more to do with the success of the team than a right fielder hitting one of nine players that a baseball player does. So, like, Jackson Dart, if he wins it, most likely he's the Super Bowl MVP. He's the most important player on the team. He's the one who impacts the game more than anyone else. So if he wins the Super Bowl, it's almost, I mean, quarterbacks are, like, right fielders inherently aren't shaped by championships. You don't look at every right fielder and base their career based on championships. You look at every quarterback and base their career on Super Bowls. That's it. That's it. You base their careers on Super Bowl. Eli Manning wouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame conversation if he didn't win two Super Bowls. So I think if Jackson Dart leads this team to a championship, he will be more beloved than Aaron Judge. If they each win one, the answer is Jackson Dart.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.